Welcome to the Leading Real Change podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Jacqueline Kerr, an expert in workplace culture change. From my unique background in behavior science, public health, and community advocacy, I help corporate leaders with evidence-based individual, team, and organizational change to create thriving workplace cultures for all. In the Leading Real Change podcast, I interview dedicated and passionate change makers about their careers, how they lead change, and what leaders can do today to make a difference, to build healthy, inclusive workplace cultures for all. I'm excited to share these examples of real workplace change with you. You'll learn about effective strategies that are working and how to overcome real barriers to change that challenge us every day. I hope you'll feel inspired and more confident to keep leading change in your workplace. Please share this podcast with other HR, DEI, or ERG leaders who you know are working hard but are struggling to have an impact and need more support to effectively create a thriving workplace culture for all today.
My name is Jared Pope. I'm actually the CEO, founder of WorkShield. Although as me as an individual, what I often say is I'm a recovering attorney. And so I used to practice law, but first and foremost, I'm a husband and a father. I get to work every day with two of my best friends. One is my wife, Jennifer, and my other best friend, Travis, is also my co-founder as well with Jennifer and me. But outside of that, I'm a runner at heart. I love to make things go forward and innovate. And that's a little bit about Jared, other than I love to cook and drink wine and play golf.
Great. Thank you so much. And I remember when we spoke previously, you mentioned that your wife and you take turns on days that you're doing pickup for your kids.
Absolutely. It's important for us. And when we started this journey together, and we've never worked together. And so this is literally the first time, and we're about 5 years old come February in 2023. And this time we were like, all right, we got to work together. We got to come up with a system to where who's in charge of the kids, who's not. And she's a lot smarter than I am. And I fully admit that on any day of the week and twice on Sundays. So we just basically have a routine where if it's Mondays or Fridays, she'll sometimes take them, but Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays during the week, it's my job. And plus it gives me time to catch up with the kiddos and see what's happening. And, or as oftentimes, sometimes we just sit in silence because they want to just think, but we enjoy it and we're a good partnership.
That's great. That's so good to hear. And it's so important because definitely sharing that load is a big part about it for working mums as well. So I'm so glad that you guys, as you say, it's a system. We have to have those systems at home in the same way as we do at work too.
Yeah. And look, it wasn't easy at the beginning, but we figured it out. We had the guardrails up. So we ran into those a couple of times, but we have a pretty good system. But we also communicate really well to each other. And I think that's where a lot of the frustrations, if there is frustrations, it comes down to lack of communication. And generally, that's usually on me. I'll fall on that sword on that one.
This is an interesting situation where you're not only having a partnership in the home, but you're having a partnership in the business. And I think that's fairly rare.
It is. Although I will say there are certain days during the week where she's in the office and I actually don't see her, or I'll see her walking by and we don't sometimes talk, or we're just going to different places. But it is fun and it is interesting. It's unique. But I think we have a good system in place. We're pretty proud of what we've done here.
Great. So let's talk a little bit more about that journey from lawyer to WorkShield. And quite often the guests I'm interviewing have been through major career pivots, sometimes due to burnout, others it's a life stage. But I think it's really helpful for listeners to hear that careers aren't always straightforward, because so often listeners are going through a need to pivot or need for a different, more fulfilling job. Tell us about your journey from lawyer to WorkShield.
Yeah, sure. It's definitely a unique one, an interesting one. And started out undergrad, grad school, law school, went to the big firm and thought I was going to be a partner at a big firm. And that didn't happen. And I realized very early on that, hey, I didn't want to necessarily be a big time partner in a law firm. So I was in-house at an insurance agency company, was general counsel there, and then decided crazily to start my own law firm. And when I did that, I quickly realized, geez, in the first 3 months, I was working and billing 200 hours a month. It really wasn't good. There was a lot of burnout. I said, listen, I didn't want to start my own job or my own aspects or drive my life forward by burning the candles at both ends of the stick and brought in some other people. But what it did show me was that, and look, this is also for any entrepreneur or any business owner, is there's always late nights and working hard, but it's also working smart as well. And I think sometimes with entrepreneurs, they're younger, they just think they have to work all the time. They haven't figured out the working smart side of it. And so being at the age I was when I was starting my own firm about 10 years ago, this idea came to me around 2017 when the Harvey Weinstein movement was happening. And originally it was asking the age-old question of, why is all of this stuff happening? Not that harassment or discrimination or any of these things are new to what's happening in the workplace, but why does it keep happening? Why is something not being addressed and how is it not being addressed? And searching for that answer, at the end of the day, I looked in the mirror and I realized it was me. It was that attorney. And attorneys for every company that say, hey, here's your standard check the box policy. Here's your standard check the box compliance to put in an anonymous hotline. And where do those anonymous reports go to? They go straight back to the employer to investigate. But all the data at the same time suggested the employers are sweeping it under the rug or the manager is sweeping it under the rug. But more importantly, 75% of the issues just don't get reported due to fear of that retaliation. And so in other words, when I took a step back and looked in the mirror and said, okay, I get it. The system's broken. And it's broken in a way that only the employers are really just there to say, hey, we want to have this great vision and mission and company culture, but they're not really doing anything about it. And so then I said, you know what? I think we can change that. I think we can change it in a way where we can create cultures comprised of integrity and trust that allows the people, culture, and company to all three be protected and heard all at the same time. And that was a pretty bold mission and idea that we wanted to take on. And so I went to Jennifer and told her this idea. And she's like, Jared, you always have ideas. Come back to me later. Let's see if this works. And fast forward. So that was originally around November in 2017. And then in January of 2018, I had some clients up in Chicago. And so I flew up there, had an event with one of the clients. And on January 30th of 2018, I had a dinner with one of my mentors and clients. A guy named was Walt Fawcett of the Plexus Group. And sat down with him and told him this idea about WorkShield. And I said, hey, I'm going to create this technology platform that takes all the drama off your plate. So in other words, we're a little like TNT. We love drama. And so we want to take that drama off the plate, investigate it. And I have this idea that I think we can resolve all of these issues in less than a week. And so I told him the idea and his first response was, I love it. I'll be your first client. So I'm like, okay, this guy normally doesn't like anything or he's very skeptical. And the fact that he loved it and said, I'll be your first client. I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. That was January 30th. On January 31st, I had another dinner with a second client in Chicago at the same time. And two brothers that were up there, they run their own kind of insurance shop and had dinner with them, told them the idea. And their response was, I love it. I'll be your first client. And so that next day, February 1st, I flew home, walked in the door, looked at Jennifer and said, hey, you remember that company WorkShield I told you about? She goes, yeah. And I'm like, we need a logo and I'm going to set it up fast. And that was really how it started. It started in February of 2018. And then my buddy Travis, who's also on the founding team, called him when I got into the house and said, hey, I think I got a pretty cool idea. I want to run it by you. Told him about it, told him what the reaction was. And he was like, I'm in, let's go. And that's really the start of WorkShield and where we are today.
That's so fascinating too. And I love it as a example of a business. You're onto the right thing when somebody's saying, I want it, and you haven't even built it yet. That's definitely what all entrepreneurs want. But I love some of your other points in there in your story in terms of that work harder mentality. It's such a problem. We're brought up with it. And I think particularly to women have bought into that in terms of if we work hard, we will get there. And we do. And for example, I did in my life, life. But that's really when I realized, okay, keeping on working harder, there is never an end to that. So I agree, like finding those ways to work smarter is so important. And as we think about employees that we work with, again, it's rewarding them for the things that they're already doing well, rather than always thinking about merit reviews, doing more and more. We can have quality within the workday rather than quantity outside of the workday.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. And I'll tell you what, if you don't mind, the really bad part is looking back at law firms. When I was at my big two law firms that I worked at, you got rewarded because you were in there before anybody else and you left after everybody else. And if the partner came in and didn't see you in there, he was wondering, where are you? What are you doing? Now, remember, this is back in the early 2000s and work from home really didn't exist. And so there was this mentality that I think a lot of lawyers at the time were, you got to be there first thing. You got to stay there late at night and you just got to work. And maybe you don't have a life. And I think that's the bad part. And what drives, and particularly in the legal community, burnout is huge. When you got to bill 2,000 hours a year, now that's billing. Working is you're probably working 2,500 to 3,000 hours a year. And no one can sustain that. It's impossible. And you're going to create these issues. And quite honestly, I think they've been a culprit in those issues of creating burnout and the mental side of things. And it's not just law firms, it's all over the place. But now I think we're getting to a point today, which why I love what we're talking about is it's such a big issue on burnout and how do we solve it? How do we address it? How do we make people understand it's okay to take care of yourself?
Exactly. But I love also your perspective of you really recognize, one, I got goose pimples when you said you looked in yourself in the mirror and said you're part of the problem, because that awareness from so many perspectives, but particularly seeing it as part of your role as a lawyer in the system, but really recognizing that the system is broken, because that's what I feel like in so many ways. Again, the system of work is broken. That's why we're having burnout, and the system's broken in terms of our hiring, promotions, processes. That's why we haven't got diverse leaders. But it feels like so many people don't see it from that perspective. They see it very much, there's something wrong with the people in the system rather than the system. So I'm glad that you saw that. That's one thing I want to help people see, how the systems are broken. But I also think how you really were able to then see a solution, like you said, that is looking and helping the employee, the culture, and the company all at the same time, and taking that drama away. Because again, it's not necessary that workplaces are well equipped to deal with mental health. It's not necessary that they're well equipped to deal with harassment and, as you say, other issues. And so I think it's really important, not only just from that perspective of bringing in an expert who does understand this, but also then recognizing when you do bring someone in from the outside, that perspective that there can be more psychological safety and trust in that process. So I want to hear a little bit more about that and what it is you do and why that's so important. But I'll try and remember us both to pivot back to this issue of, I don't want companies investing so much in external programs that they never address what they're doing internally either. Because I've seen that a lot too, that people are saying, I'm just going to outsource this mental health problem. We're never going to change the culture here, but I'll give everybody coaching to help them with their own problems. There's always pros and cons to everything. So that's where I sit on the internal, external. But you go ahead and tell us more about how WorkShield either crosses that and exactly what it is you guys are doing.
It's a great point, and very similar to when I looked in the mirror and realized that I was part of the problem. I'm a big believer of you have to look internally before you can look externally at any situation. And when we think about workplace misconduct, whether it's harassment or discrimination, or you talk about burnout, what is causing this burnout to happen? And at the root of all of it, and I'm pretty positive this is where the root is, it's all toxicity. And toxicity, some people don't realize burnout can be caused by toxic cultures. Burnouts can be caused by toxic individuals because they're angry at themselves that they didn't get what they're done. So they're taking it out on somebody else. or they're creating this environment that's really toxic, and it's causing the mental health issues. It's causing the burnout issues because people are scared to lose their job, especially in today's society, what we're dealing with, whether you call it a recession or not, there's a lot of fear and anxiety. And I'm a big believer that whatever is going on in society is absolutely happening inside your culture. And we have to address that. And before an employer can really say, hey, how are we going to address this mental health side? Can we just outsource it, put in an EAP plan and get counseling and coaching? That is a great step. But before that step can even be happening or take place, it's more about how do we address internally to make sure that our employees have a safe psychological place to go work. And that's where WorkShield comes in. And so WorkShield is really, it's a technology platform. We call it the employer intelligence platform that allows employees to, whether anonymous or not, report issues of misconduct, harassment, discrimination, all the way down to safety concerns, ethics fraud, whistleblower, DE&I issues, ESG issues. They can report anything on our platform. And with that, we ingest that data on our platform. It's omni-channel, whether it's online or on your phone or talking to somebody. But the best part is, what we also learned is, when you call a call center or you call a company to report something, you don't want to talk to a machine. You don't want to report with an automatic or an AI chatbot or anything from there. You actually want a live person to hear you. And that's what we're really big on. But once that issue comes in, our platform basically analyzes it, makes sure notifications are sent out to the right people. We actually do the investigation as it relates to the workplace misconduct, like Title VII type issues, harassment, discrimination. Or if it looks like it's a little bit of that, we'll actually do that investigations with certified professionals on our team and with the partners that we have, and then resolve all of that with the employee and the employer all within a week. And so to give you some stats, we did about almost 800 investigations last year. And from intake to investigation to resolution, we did it all in 3.7 days, which is really fast. And so I bring this up because when we're talking about toxicity and burnout, when you think about the national averages of, let's take XYZ company, think of big company, small company, the average time for an employer to not only do the intake and the investigation and try to resolve any type of issue related to misconduct, toxicity, the average time is 25 to 30 days. Okay, let me say that again. It's 25 to 30 working days. Not, that doesn't mean a month. It's going to last more than a month. So what does that mean? So let's use the example where, Jacqueline, you have an issue, you report it, and now maybe it's your manager that's doing something. Now you got to go work with that same person for 25 to 30 more days. And what happens during that time period? Generally speaking, it's a question of, do they know me? Do they hear me? Do they even see me? Do they care about me? Are they sweeping it under the rug? What's going on? That all leads to resentment, anxiety, contentment for the company to eventually you're like, you know what? I'm out. I'm burned out. This is crazy. I'm out of here and I'm going to sue you. Imagine that same situation where you report an issue on Monday and then by Friday it's done. What happens is, and what we've seen across the country and even the world with our clients is having that accountability and responsibility to say, hey, toxicity drives burnout. It drives turnover. It drives low productivity within our culture. And it drives a culture to where DE&I initiatives can't take place. Now imagine none of that's there. And so WorkShield was really designed to not only be a platform and a technology to way to do that and have that service behind it, but then to really get to the root cause of the issues and address them head on, but then take out the employer to be that middleman or that manager to be the middleman. And so one of the things we're proud of last year with the data of those nearly 800 incidents, 22% were anonymous. Okay. Now that's the reverse of what the national average is. The national average is 75% of the issues that are reported anonymously. So on our platform, only 22% were. Okay. So we're three times better than the national average. But here's the best part. Of that 22%, guess how many were upstandard reporting? It was more than three quarters. So 77% of that 22% was actually an upstander reporting anonymously on an incident that they saw, heard, or witnessed. Now, that's pretty amazing. And that's what we call building upstander cultures. And so what we've also seen with our clients is that when you provide this psychological safe space to raise your voice and truly be heard, guess what else went down? Burnout. Burnout went down because the toxicity is going away. It's getting addressed head on. And if people have issues, they can report it. We're actually really proud of the fact that there are so many things that we're addressing, and burnout is one of them. And it all comes down to, how do you address toxicity in the workplace? So it's been fun to see over the last 4 years, almost 5 years, and our clients have been extremely happy and their cultures have gotten extremely better. Their turnover has gone down, their productivity's gone up. And look, some companies hire all the time, right? And that's okay. But you also don't know, are you hiring a toxic person or not? No one can know that. Now there's references, but are they really going to give you a bad reference? The answer is no. How do you really find out about that situation? But if toxicity does rear its ugly head, they're in a situation to where someone says, hey, we're an upstander culture, not a bystander culture. You're out of here.
I love that. There's so many pieces of that. And I think it's so important that you've drawn this connection between the toxicity and burnout, because I agree it is such a root. And as you say, not just at the individual level, you can have a toxic boss, but it's at the cultural level. If there is not psychological safety, you can't address mental health issues. And I agree, you also can't address DEI issues. So yeah, so how do companies create that psychological safety? And so, yeah, I can see that when there's a system that functions more effectively than you can in a workplace, because again, in a workplace, even if there's good intent, someone in HR, if they've got multiple parts of their job, they're not able to focus in the way you are to just get on and say, okay, this is our job to solve this. And again, you've set that marker of solving it quickly, because I agree that is so important. And so, yeah, tell me a little bit more about how the solutions work, because you are able to say that not only that you get to the bottom of what is the problem, but you're resolving it within that sort of short time frame. So give me some examples of how you're solving the types of issues you're facing.
As you can imagine, we've had a lot of incidents occur, especially we're covering roughly 130,000 plus employees on our platform. We see a ton that come in and day out. And so a prime example is, and I'm always like to use people as examples. So Jacqueline, let's say you have an issue, you report it, comes into WorkShield, and let's say it's against Joe, your manager. And so Joe is saying your socks look ugly, right? We'll keep it easy on this one. And from that perspective, so it comes in, we always have a client contact. Generally, it's the head of HR or the risk or the CFO, depending on, or employee relations or labor relations. They get notified that says, hey, this incident came in, WorkShield will call you very quickly. So the investigator that's assigned to that account, we have more than one always assigned to each account. They reach out to the client contact saying, hey, this person filed an incident, don't retaliate, making sure you know what's happening. And then they reach out to you. And here's the most important thing. We listen. And it's not about trying to fit inside a parameter. It's not about trying to get all the details out of you, because you'll tell us. And more importantly, you raise your voice. But it's with that with everybody. And so they'll reach out to you and say, hey, tell us what happened. Yes, we saw what you put in. Maybe there's some clarifying questions, but it's really about listening. And then it's calling the witnesses and making sure, hey, they're what they saw or heard. But it's also calling, let's say, Joe, the manager, and saying, hey, Joe, the company put WorkShield on. Just want to make sure everybody's voice is heard, and we want to make sure every story is told. Help us understand your story. What happened? And what's amazing is, and what we find over the last 4 years, is that those that have done something wrong, they know they have. And when you allow their voice to be heard in a safe environment, they're always more likely to say, you know what, I shouldn't have done that. Yeah, that was wrong, right? Now, believe me, we get the side where it's, I don't know what she's talking about, blah, 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 or he's crazy, and that's no way it happened. And of course, we get all of that. But what's the common denominator is allowing everyone to be heard. And then once that's done, compiling those facts and the issues and saying, hey, employer, here's the facts, here's the issues. We think we need to resolve it this way. And it could be a common sense approach of, hey, respect in the workplace. Sometimes things are a mistake, right? People don't understand different cultures, and it's about helping them and letting them learn about certain situations. And unfortunately, there's also the termination side. Hey, you know, we're supposed to do this. You did something bad, you're terminated. And that's okay, because that's what toxicity does to people. If you're going to be a toxic individual, you're more than likely going to be terminated. And so there's a lot of ranges there. And so what we find is this whole process with the employers and the employee, especially one that's been harassed or discriminated against or has these issues, the common thing we always find out from those individuals is, wow, this is the first time I've truly been heard. And thank you for recognizing me as an individual, as a human being, and for listening to me. And now, instead of having to report on Monday and go home every night going, geez, I really don't want to go to work tomorrow because I got to work with this person again. I got to do this for the next 3 weeks. There's this security that we allow employees to feel and understand that, hey, their company is sitting there saying, Jacqueline, you are important to this company, and we're going to make sure your voice is heard. And that's for everybody. And there's this sense of kind of belonging that people are wanting to have, especially given with COVID and working from home, this kind of desire to attach to the human element of our day-to-day interactions. And so, and having that fulfilled from a sense of you're seen, you're recognized, you're heard, we're going to do something about this and ensure that clear path to resolution, whatever that may be. That's really powerful for cultures and companies. And what does that do outside of that? Now, all of a sudden, you're like, okay, I do feel heard. This is great. Love my company. They love me. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to be smarter. I'm loyal to this company. And what does that produce? A greater environment, greater culture, greater productivity, happiness. That's what we call happiness. The opposite of burnout is happiness. And so we're creating that happiness. And so where anybody that's burned out usually comes down to what's wrong, right? Why are you burned out and what's going on? And just having that space to be heard, it's amazing what it does to cultures.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it is. It's a fundamental part of psychological safety. So I agree. And again, I just think there's part of that third party objectivity and trust, and I think really helps with that somebody knows they're being heard from without any agenda in there to start with. So I think that can really help. But as you say, just that real practice of being heard. And so hopeful and fascinating for the human race that when we're actually heard, even if we've made a mistake, we're much more likely to admit it. So I agree, when you're not on the defense, it's so helpful, because it is. It's then this kind of growth mindset. What can I learn from this? So it's so important. So then tell me how then, when you're going back in and you have the solution, how do you ensure that HR agrees to it or buys into it? And then how does the change also happen internally too?
Yeah. So first and foremost, any resolution that is provided is always determined and decided upon by the employer, right? It's never us saying, hey, this person's awful, you got to fire them. It's us saying, hey, let's talk about a resolution. Here are the facts, here are the issues. What makes best sense for your business, your culture, et cetera? And here's our advice. Here's what we've seen. But it's always the employer's decision. And that's always the case, no matter what, no matter who's involved. But outside of that, so that's number one. And then number two, how do we allow employers to communicate this message of trust, of psychological safety? There's two things I always say to employers is, one, and you've already heard it, number one, we're a lot like TNT. We love drama. We know drama. And then number two, for the older or wiser ones that have seen some really good movies like Jerry Maguire, it's let me help you. Let us do the homework for you. And so that's where we say, hey, let us do all the homework. We'll create all the materials for you, the communications, the outreach to the individuals to say, hey, we partner with WorkShield. That's a place where you can go be psychologically safe. It's a third party. You can go report any issue to them, and they're going to ensure it's a clear path to resolution. And it's all of these communication techniques, because we also know, and there's some psychology involved in this, to where it's when someone says, hey, I have to go to HR, and they get a bad rap. They are the number one people that get a bad rap because they're actually there to help. But most people don't trust HR, especially in these situations. You don't have to go to HR. You don't have to go to your manager or supervisor. You can go over here, and guess what? They're not going to put it back on our plate. They're going to look into it. And so that right there, whether it's a communication piece from leadership, whether it's through a break room poster that they see in the break room or on the walls, or the digital ID card that they have access to, it can download just like a boarding pass in your Google Play and Apple Wallet. It's really easy to access, whether it's on your time or in between breaks or on the weekend. And that's what allows that communication to happen. And always go back to, for those that are married or have a significant other, every argument or disagreement, generally speaking, the common denominator is communication. Something wasn't communicated, and then which caused a rift and caused something bad to happen. So we're really focused on that communication side up front and even all the way through the process and through that journey of being an upstander or making your voice heard. And so that's really where we start changing the culture. And generally speaking, when an employer rolls us out, they see the change within a month to 3 months pretty quickly, because you're either going to know you had a bunch of issues underneath the surface, or what happens is, if I tell you to drive home and I say, hey, after every bridge, there's a cop on the other side, what are you going to do? You're going to slow down, drive the speed limit. But then sometimes what happens is, we told you that, time has passed, and then you forget. So then you go back to your old self, you raise that toxicity flag, and then it's all of a sudden, oh, I just passed a cop and they saw it. Now they're an upstander, not a bystander. They're going to report it. And people want to be held accountable for the right reasons, right? They don't want to be held accountable for the wrong reasons. And here, the right reason is, we want a culture for good. We want a culture that people want to come and enjoy, do work that's meaningful work, and be a part of a team that's set to change the world. And that's what we're doing at WorkShield, and that's what we're allowing other companies to do as well. And I tell our team today is, we can live a life that other people have built for us, or we can create a life that other people can live in. And we want to create a life for everybody that they can live in. And that life is a psychological safe space to make your voice heard and understand that your employer sees you, hears you, understands you, and is going to make sure you're safe and secure. That's what we're headed towards.
Yeah. And I think that is so important. That's how systems change happens. Because again, if we are just trying to adapt to this life within and control what's within our control, you put somebody in that situation and they're like, oh, I have to just then process the stress my manager is putting on me. It's part of the issue, right? Because if we overreact unnecessarily to things that weren't intentionally meant to be stressful or something, yet we can get in our own way. Absolutely. But yeah, I think it's so important. I love those words, to create a different place where you want to live. And that's what I see that we need. There's so many broken systems. So I can see the same, that you're creating a different place where you can be well and work without burnout, without, like you say, toxicity. And I think you're right about what a root cause that is to so many of these problems. And I think that's also the other positive thing is, again, they do all overlap. And so when you get to one of these root causes, rather than being overwhelmed and thinking, I've got burnout issues, I've got wellness issues, I've got DEI issues, I've got leadership development issue, ESG, whatever it is, they all actually come back to that root of being psychologically safe and preventing toxicity. So I think it's definitely so important. Are you also developing trainings and tools for companies to roll this out? Because I get the mindset change of being aware that there's a, you know, that there's a cop at the bridge. That's a great analogy. But I suppose for me, I'm imagining that change takes longer. And this is about developing new skills as well, because communication is a challenging skill. So just because you've identified there's a communication issue and then you've resolved it by saying, here's the communication point or something. But how do people then actually learn these new skills? How does that all work?
Yeah. One of the things that we looked at when we rolled this out was, let's take our own selves. My wife, Jennifer, was working in big law. I look at my daughter, Madeline, who's 12, and going, what is the number one impediment to raising your voice? It's having a safe place to communicate. It's communication. How do I communicate what's going on with me today? And so it's really about how do you make it safe for someone to communicate? And so rolling this out is we have some videos on, hey, here's what WorkShield is. Here's what you need to do. And they can send it to their employees. They can send it to their managers and supervisors. But it's also telling the managers and supervisors, hey, that's not your job. You are not drama. You are not TNT. You are not WorkShield. In fact, your job is to actually move the company forward, manage what you're supposed to manage, work with your team, and all of this other stuff that's drama, that's what impedes the progress. So instead of now all of a sudden, you now have to be this pseudo HR person or expert at having communications, having authentic conversations with people in these sticky drama situations, that's not you. So why deal with it? And let the experts do it who are really good at it and can get to the bottom of issues a lot quicker than somebody else. And that's also the communication. It's knowing the boundaries. It's knowing, hey, what's my job? What is not my job? Dealing too many HR business partners and too many HR teams try to take on this role because they think it's their role. And this is where HR, there's a common phrase, they have 9,000 things to do. They're overworked and underpaid. Absolutely. Because if no one knows who to do it, the general consensus, oh, just tell HR to do it. They'll handle that. That's in their realm, right? Not really. It's not. And so all of a sudden, now you've got this relief from the manager and supervisor and HR and saying, great, no one wants to have tough conversations. No one wants to be the bad guy. Nobody does. No one wants to deliver bad news. And if you do want to deliver it, okay, there's a very rare like 0.1% of the population that really love doing that. But it's also, if you know how to have those authentic conversations, which all starts with listening, you know how to ask the right questions, you know how to communicate effectively and efficiently with the individuals and the company as a whole, you know, that's what we're really good at. And we have all the technology to do it with and track and manage and monitor and have all these things where people know exactly what's going on within this ecosystem of drama and situations and workplace cultures. We really focus on how do we roll this out? How do we give this training to people? How do we allow them to understand what's happening? And that's what we do all on the front end with our clients to do that. And look, change takes a while and that's okay, but it's caused by taking one step after the other. And then when you look back, all of a sudden you've taken 1,000 steps and you've changed. And it happens oftentimes when people say it happened overnight, it happened because you've been focused on the right things. And for managers and supervisors, they don't need to focus on drama. They need to focus on moving the company forward. And it's amazing when you stop focusing on the drama situations and allow someone else to handle it. Culture improves, progress improves, everything happens because you got the right team in place. And so that's where we're really focused on.
That's a great answer because I think there's a couple of elements about that, which is why are we trying to shove ourselves all into this hole of being the best communicator or listener or whatever, right? You as a manager actually could have a bunch of other skills that makes your strength that drives the business, right? And so I agree. I know an ADECA report was also saying we're spending over 60% of our time working on how to work versus actually doing the work that's going to push the business forward. So I love that sort of transition to thinking, look, not everyone needs to be doing these problems, but also not everyone has those strengths to do that. I felt like that I could definitely teach other people active listening and motivational interviewing skills, but I didn't necessarily think that I was always the best person at it. I agree. We all have other strengths. So again, making sure that we have some elements and that we're definitely listening and that we're compassionate, but not all of us are going to be trained counselors at the end of the day, nor should we be. I like that sort of focus on saying, yeah, there are some tasks that as a manager and the same with HR are not the best tasks for you to be focusing on to move us forward. So I agree. And I think that's the other part too, is just seeing the patterns that occur. I think that's the other thing, that within a single company, it can be hard because it's a bit more like whack-a-mole. You're not seeing patterns, whereas you have so much information from multiple clients. And maybe there are certain industry patterns that come out within that. But I can imagine too, the more I talk to people about these types of issues, there's a lot of universality in what we're facing. I think that's also important because you can get to the bottom of things more quickly, partly because they are fitting into a superstructure that you can see.
The leadership first has to ask the question, is this something important to me that I think my employees want? And if you answer that no, then keep your head in the sand and everyone's going to pass you by. If your answer is yes, it's okay, how do we solve this problem? How do we do this? And I think it goes beyond that, kind of even having that third party that we are that's there, but it goes by to there's stressors that occur outside of work. And we've gotten today where people used to be asked, don't bring home to work and don't take work to home. And COVID hit and that flipped it upside down. And now it seems, depending on which news you follow or not, but I think the general consensus is what we're seeing is people want that human interaction and to have that human connection. And whether it's in work or daily life or outside of work, now we've gotten to this place of, okay, I was by myself for 2 years, theoretically. Now I got back into the office. How do I interact? How do these things happen? Guess what's going to happen when those converge? Things are going to happen, bad and good. And so you got to be prepared, but it's just, it's where we are today. It's so important to where things are happening outside of the workforce. At home with kids, we have 2 kids. It's not lost on us that our team members at WorkShield, they have kids too. So it's go let them go spend an afternoon with your child because it's a indoor basketball court camp out and you bring a picnic lunch and you go do that. Or it's, hey, you're going to go see your son play at a basketball game and it's at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and it's an 8th grade basketball game. Yeah, you need to go do that. That's a part of being present and being alive. But allowing that to happen. And then it's also, hey, you know what? I just need to take a day. And you just pushed out a huge development project. The developers have worked really hard to get it because they set their own goal. No, we want to get it out right here. And so they work themselves. It's like, hey, take the next day off. Go relax. You got to have that time to replenish the soul and replenish the energy and do something else. And that's where I think employers can be a lot more caring. And they can be a lot more forgiving and they can be a lot more in touch with it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to say, hey, I've noticed this. I think you need a break. What's going on? And also, too oftentimes we ask people, how are you doing? Expecting the good answer. And then you don't follow up. How many times have you said, how are you doing? And someone says, not good. Pretty rare. Most people are scared because do you have the right time to ask it? Where sometimes it's going by and saying, hey, how are you doing? And you got to ask them 3 times in a row, how are you doing? I'm fine. How are you doing? And that's when they realize, yeah, it's pretty noticeable. And that's important with burnout as leaders. And Jen and Travis and I take pretty to heart with what we do.
Exactly. And it's so important to have that leadership and that role modeling. And as I say, a key to this is that ability to say, it's okay to ask for help, because I think that has been such a key, for example, in my own burnout recovery as well, because we are in this mindset. Again, I can imagine it too from your legal background too. It's just that drive, 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 be independent, be capable at every level. And often there doesn't feel any room for anything else. Caring hasn't been part of our mantra at all, a part of our societal culture either. So yeah, I definitely hope that changes.
Yeah, we're trying to change it. So that's good. So just wait, come into an employer near you.
Exactly. And this has been great. I just love this example of how you can change the system. And what was so interesting to me in what you said is you did say it can happen within a few months. And it's almost sometimes, like you say, it's not necessarily even trying to solve the problem you think you have. Like we would say, this is managers not being able to communicate with employees or something. We think that's the problem, but actually you're realizing that there is this other problem in terms of being heard first. And once that changes, some of these other issues just disappear. I know, I didn't want to say it because it sounds like that, But I think that's what's so amazing about systems change, right? That's how it can happen.
It takes one step after another. And I love it. And you're right. It's hard to understand. And you equated it really well, is that the root cause to a lot of these issues is not what's being talked about. And you're actually talking about it, right? To where, whether it's DEI or ESG or workplace harassment, discrimination, culture, burnout, all of these things, they're all part of this tree of life. They're all part of this tree of the employer. And the branches are the ESG, the DEI, and the ping pong table, and the culture, and, oh, we got sodas and great snacks, and we also have PTO, but we also have initiatives with retention and attraction and getting the best employees and making sure you got the right benefits. Those are all what makes up the tree and the leaves and the branches. But the root of that tree is where toxicity lives. And if you don't address the toxicity, which lives in the root of that tree, it will kill everything above ground. And that is where you have to focus. You have to make sure there's enough sun and enough water and enough rain and making sure it's nourished, while at the same time putting in the nutrients that those roots need, but then taking out that horrible cancerous item called toxicity. No matter how diverse you are, how many inclusive or affinity groups you have, or how pay equal or pay equality is there, you can do all of that. But if toxicity exists, good luck. It's not going to hold. And I loved how you brought it together, because that's the root cause of why these things don't take shape. And particularly burnout, it's a part of that tree of life of an employer, and toxicity will kill and cause burnout to happen.
Thanks so much for listening today. I hope the podcast brings you fresh ideas, renewed confidence, and energy to keep leading change. If you need a partner in these efforts, I can help you effectively build a thriving workplace culture for all. I'll help you overcome the real barriers to change you face every day and help you lead real change with evidence-based solutions. In particular, I want to work with passionate leaders who have tried and failed, because I know you have what it takes, and your experience will help you clearly recognize the difference I can make. For a free consultation today, please visit my website at www.leading-real-change.com. That's www.leadingrealchange.com. Control your own.